Good afternoon. Thank you all for hanging around, waiting for my talk. I'm going to talk today about some work I'm doing on safflower, specifically the molecular marker analysis of safflower. Start out with a little background about safflower. I'm not sure if everybody knows even what it is. Safflower is an annual broadleaf oilseed crop that is incredibly water use efficient. In the past, safflower petals have been made into dyes, and the oil has been used in industry and also for human consumption. It's one of the most heart-healthy oils there is. Another use of it is bird feed. It's a high-quality bird feed. It's used in a lot of mixes. The majority of safflower that's grown in the world is mostly in India and Pakistan. Here in America, it's starting to come on. We grow quite a bit of it now. Mexico and Australia and a few other countries also have some decent acreage. In the U.S., it's mostly centered in the Great Plains right now. Some morphology about safflower. The flower petals range from yellow to red to orange. There's a little bit of diversity there. There's spines along the leaf margins, which make it pretty challenging to deal with by hand, especially when I'm doing crosses. But this does deter wild hogs, which is a big problem in the South, so that is a benefit. The taproot of safflower can reach depths of more than 10 feet deep, allowing it to scavenge water and nutrients other crops cannot get to. And there's also, in some of the winter safflower types that we're looking at, there's an interesting allelopathic effect that works against weeds. So if we can pinpoint that and introduce that to a breeding program, that could be incredibly beneficial. Here's just some pictures of the seed and some of the stem structures, give you an idea of what it looks like. In our area, the Ogallala Aquifer is of major concern. We're depleting it at a far greater rate than it is recharging. So irrigation water is a major concern. Recently, in the United States, large amounts of land have been taken completely out of cultivation because of poor soils or lack of water. And looking at safflower as a possible plant we can reintroduce into these areas and make a profit on some lands that right now are just sitting there fallow. If we're going to do this, though, we need safflower that's even more salt-tolerant and more water-use efficient than we have now. So the breeding program in Texas Tech is working to find the sessions that are more salt-tolerant, more water-use efficient, and better adapted to some of these difficult environments. These are some of the traits that we've specifically targeted for selection. Drought tolerance, like I said. In my experiment, I'm doing a transpiration efficiency test in the greenhouse. And along with this, we also have field trials that we've looked at for several years under irrigation treatments. And another way we're targeting this drought tolerance is by specifically looking at the roots and doing some phenotyping on exactly how they're growing. Salt tolerance, we have plans to do, well, this is being done right now in greenhouse studies with another graduate student at Tech. And then we have some trials in Pecos where, like we just heard, is very salty. So it's a great environment to test something like this. Winter hardiness, not all the safflower is winter hardy, but that's something we're very interested in. So we're doing this with staggered planting trials. We plant them in the spring and see how they perform, then plant them in the autumn and grow them over the winter and see how they do. But that is that's a major trait we're interested in. And then, of course, like any other plant, we got to worry about yield. And since it's an oil crop, oil percentage and oil composition are also very important. The objective of my research is to use molecular markers and to use these molecular markers to help ongoing breeding programs at Tech. And we're specifically targeting ours to perform better in the Texas Great Plains, but really all over the west of the United States, there's a lot of land that this could go into. Evaluating diversity of abiotic stresses, mostly salt and water, of course, like I've talked about. And I'm trying to correlate the molecular markers to some of these traits just to help us in our breeding program. Here's kind of an outline of how we'd like it to go. Hopefully it goes kind of like this. Start in the greenhouse and in the fields, and we target these traits of interest. And then we move that into the laboratory where we do focus on germplasm selection and identification of some polymorphic markers, and which is going to lead to some marker trait associations, hopefully. And then we'll take that and do some marker-assisted selection and eventually get some elite germplasm. Here's some data from the field. What I'm trying to show here is just how diverse some of the stuff we have. This is only three different lines, but you can see over here, the percent of oil ranges pretty widely. And this is under irrigation treatment. And then same thing here, we see quite a bit of diversity, a few more lines here. Quite a bit of difference in height, yield, oil content. So we have a lot of opportunity to incorporate different germplasm and produce a better safflower plant. Here's a little bit about my transpiration efficiency experiment. We grow seedlings in these little pots. When they're very small, we wrap the pot in a permeable plastic bag, which won't allow any water to leave through evaporation. So in theory, all the water that leaves comes through the plant. And doing this, we water them, bag them, and then we wait until they die. And when we do this, we can determine a relative water use efficiency value, which will correlate back to molecular markers. The markers I'm using are SSR markers. Dr. Chapman had created these primers for safflower, and so we just kind of piggybacked off of what he had done, gave me a head start. We got a mini core collection of 92 accessions, and in addition to that, we added 5 winter hardy accessions and then a few other selections that we've already made. So this will be the population that I'm working with. For genotyping, of course, we do PCR amplification, and we run it in an ABI sequencer to identify the SSR markers. With this large collection of safflower, you need something like this where you can look at them all. It'd be very time-consuming if you had to. Without the genotyping and the marker data, such a large population would be hard to identify the traits that we're after. For my markers, this is what I've got so far. I'm not quite done with it, so these numbers will change a little bit. 86 primers, that's what I use, and that will stay the same. But to date, I've identified 257 alleles. That's after a 5% cutoff, so it was quite a bit higher, but these we're pretty confident in. And I've tested 82 of the genotypes so far. When I get done, it'll be more like 100 or so genotypes that I've looked at. Some work that's about to happen. Of course, we'll have a winter trial again, do some more overwintering and see how they perform. We'll be looking at yield, oil content, oil quality, and we're also going to do a rooting phenotype experiment over the winter, I believe. And then, of course, I got to finish my SSR analysis, which will be done shortly, hopefully, and then tie it all together with some association mapping. So, in conclusion, with a better understanding of safflower at the molecular level, we can improve upon a traditional breeding program and increase the performance of safflower far quicker than we could without the molecular markers. This genetic analysis, in conjunction with some research that's being done on the Tech Farm and several other people at Tech, should provide us with a better adapted safflower to our area. And that will do it. Are there any questions?
Questions? Usually, the way, you know, we establish markers, you usually make a cross between.
Right.
Are you doing that?
Well, some of the genotypes that I've selected, a few of them are crosses. They won't be in this study exactly because I kind of need pure lines for this marker data, but I'm looking at the crosses just kind of for our own information. But the population of this study, there's no crosses, no pairings in it. It's just a wide population covering most of the variation of safflower.
Okay.